Mr. Gillette, how are you?
I'm fine. How are all of you and your listeners?
Well, the two of us are okay. Brent and I are doing all right. The listeners, we don't know so much. you don't have enough toys?
Oh, Lord. How do you answer that?
Well, I mean, you have a soccer team, you have a hockey team, you have a NASCAR team, and now you're interested in another soccer team. And that's I'm perfectly okay with it. And we understand, and Steve and I have been talking about this just to get the listeners acquainted with what little I know about you, really, and Stephen knows obviously more. But, I mean, you enjoy these franchises. These are not just business ventures, although they are. But, I mean, you really enjoy your involvement and ownership with these things. And I just look at the calendar and I say, well, how much fun can one man have in one year?
Well, you know, thanks for helping me out. There is a lot to that. I'm very fortunate, and my family is, and my sons. If it weren't for my sons and their interest in sports and so forth, we would definitely not do this. So, to the extent that I enjoy it, and my name gets connected with things, but as you were talking about both good and bad, that's one thing. But the fact is that it really is because my sons, our son Alexander. It's in the car business. We own a number of retail car dealerships around the country. And so automobiles are a part of our life, and therefore NASCAR was a pretty easy extension.
Sure.
How do you not like the Canadiens or the Toronto Maple Leafs? I mean, it's just, these are two great story franchises, and those of us who have a privilege of being connected with them are very fortunate.
Now, George, this MLS thing, and again, the story just came out yesterday, and Mr. Joey Saputo issued a statement about it, and I just wonder how far down the road that is. It sounds, it's an idea that, you know, we've kicked around here, and it makes a lot of sense given the interest in soccer in Montreal with the impact, given the success of Toronto FC, but is this still kind of on the drawing board, or is this closer to reality than that?
You know, I think at this point, things are in other people's hands. There are exclusivity features with the Toronto club through 2009. The league has mandates that they've already agreed to three additional expansion clubs, including Vancouver and so forth. So I think that it really is at this point an expression of interest on the Saputo family and the Gillette family's part. And if the league wants to do something, we would be very receptive. I don't think that it's, I don't know how imminent it is, frankly, because I don't know their process.
We may be able to help you out a little bit here.
Good.
Tom Anselmi, the chief operating officer of Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment, the owners of the Toronto FC, was on with us about an hour and a half ago, and we asked him specifically about the prospects of a franchise in Montreal and the exclusivity thing. He acknowledged the exclusivity clause, but seemed to be, he says he's very supportive of Montreal, looks forward to Montreal having a franchise, and did not say that they wouldn't consider waiving that exclusivity for you. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, first of all, let me tell you, we're having the teams in Canada that are in hockey, the relationships amongst the teams for the most part is extraordinarily positive and cooperative. And Tom particularly has been a very, very good friend of ours, who's given us a lot of very good advice. Richard Petty and Mr. Tenenbaum have been, you know, great allies. Because we, to some extent, we still have some big battles to fight relative to, you know, the dollar, the Canadian dollar, and so forth. And so we work well together. And if Toronto would waive it, and if the league and the owners saw fit for us to be in it, we certainly would be excited about it. But I think it is, as we said, it's in other people's hands.
Now, I got to ask you, before we get on to the happy news and the Canadians, George, and I do it. Which we will, because it's one of the great sports stories of this year. What's going on in Liverpool? I know that's a wide-open question, but there have been so many stories over the last few weeks. The Dubai International Capital, the story that they were going to buy out your interest, that Mr. Hicks was going to buy 1% of it to get a controlling interest, and then that deal being kiboshed somewhere along the line. Where are you right now in terms of Liverpool?
Oh, boy. I think we're at that point where there are things going on. There are pieces on the chessboard being moved or being contemplated to be moved that I think it would not be helpful for us or the club to comment on. Suffice it to say, however, that our goal from the beginning was to try and be supportive and add to the luster of this magnificent storied franchise. And what's happened this year has not done that. We certainly haven't done it on the pitch yet, although we're playing well in the Champions League. But we've had a marginally good year in the Premiership. Our loss to Man U last Sunday at 3-0 was a heartbreaker because we played them 11-10. We had Mascherano thrown off for what's unclear as to what happened, but clearly they sent a referee in with a no tolerance program, and we happened to apparently make the wrong comment to the new tough referee at the wrong time, and you just can't play Man U. It's tough enough playing them 11-11. So I think we're at a point now where we want to finish the season out. We want to finish it strong. We play well in the Champions League. Foster and I are going to be going over to the Arsenal game next week, and we've just decided that this is an extraordinary time, and we're going to enjoy it, and we're going to be there. And by God, we're going to try and be a positive influence on this process.
Now, this is going to be I don't know how you can answer this, George, but on a personal level, I know how that you understood the importance of winning over the people in Liverpool, of doing what you've done with the Canadians in Montreal with the fans there, that you understood you were going into a unique, distinct culture and had to kind of take light footsteps and win them over one person at a time. How tough has it been for you personally, some of the stuff that's come back from Liverpool, some of the hostility directed generally at ownership, let's put it that way?
You know, we've gotten as many as 2,000 emails a week here. And I would say that 95% of them have been directed at some of the comments made by my partner, and 5% have been, frankly, aimed at both of us, saying, you know, go home, Americans. But for the most part, and you know, as recently as today, we've gotten 25 emails, and I've had several conversations with fans who represent important blog sites and so forth, and they are inviting me to come in and come to the famous pubs, be their guest, see how they sing the songs or get ready to sing the songs, and there is none of the hostility or animosity that is felt or it seems to have been directed at others within the ownership group. I must say, however, that the most difficult part for us has been that because of the things that have been said that have upset and angered the fans as much toward one or both of us, the fact is that the thing that angers them the most is the prospect that I might sell even one share of stock to my partner. They do not want him to have controlling interest in this club. They don't even want him to have any ownership in the club based on what they're saying and sending to me. So as a result of that, and it's been very difficult for my wife with the amount that I travel, we receive many phone calls in the middle of the night threatening us, our lives, death threats.
My goodness.
They've come to the office, a number of them have come into the office, and Foster and Lauren, my son and daughter-in-law, have received a number of them themselves. A number of the blog sites have, you know, we're very private people, but my phone number is in the phone book, and I, you know, I'm not shy, and if I make a mistake, I'm prepared to take the hit for it. But the private phone numbers, the cell phone numbers and so forth, are apparently on some blog sites, and we've received a number of calls. And again, it's interesting. The calls are not against my wife or myself or my son or my daughter-in-law as much as they are against us selling to our partner. And so we're rethinking that. Frankly, I don't think it's fair for me to put my family in that kind of danger. And so instead of thinking about selling, I don't know, maybe we'll think about buying.
Bluntly, has this partnership with Mr. Hicks become unworkable?
Oh, it has been for some time, yeah.
Okay. So you acknowledge...
But not because of us. We have tried to be cooperative. We tried to be supportive. But when your public persona is more important than the facts, that makes it very difficult to have a rational relationship.
So where we are now is, what is the exit strategy or the entry strategy, if you will?
Yep. Excuse me just a second.
Go right ahead. George has to take a phone call. You know what we'll do? Let's take the quick break, and then George will rejoin us, and we'll talk a little bit about some happier things, the performance of the Montreal Canadiens. Stephen had something else before we move along.
Yeah, George, just one last, because you brought it up. The idea that you would maybe want to stick with Liverpool and, I presume, try and buy out, or at least buy controlling interest from your partner, your estranged partner at this point. I just wonder how that can happen now. I know there are a lot of forces at work here, and there are things happening behind the scenes, but is that something, do you think that's, you know, are we talking about something realistic, feasible, or kind of more of a wish than something that's going to happen?
You know, it's really hard to say until you literally put something, you know, in writing and you put the money in the bank. That's a speculative answer, any answer I'd give you. But what I would say is this: we were very fair. We gave our partner a long period of time to try and make the arrangements to buy us out. We didn't put pressure on him. We could not have been a better partner. And he ultimately didn't get to the finish line. In the meantime, because of things that he said, the fans' reaction has been so negative toward him and toward us if we sold to him, that has now made that an untenable alternative for us.
Wow. I'm a little unclear on one thing here before we move on, and I just want to clarify this. The sense I got was that the Dubai interest was with you and that he effectively blocked that possibility for you. Is that accurate, George?
Well, that's another one of the points.
Is it accurate, though?
He threatened to.
Okay. And that was really, do you think that deal could have and would have gone ahead?
Well, I think that's certainly one of the things that made the fans upset.
Sure.
You know, Lord knows they have the money. And, you know, with oil prices going up every day, that's not an issue. And they certainly have the history and the fan and their fans. And I think they'd have been very responsible owners. So I guess not making that possible or making that difficult, again, didn't endear people to the fans. So as you all are saying, there's an awful lot going on here. Much too complicated for me to try and handicap. But what I know is that the fans and the great fabled history of this club deserve better. And we're going to do everything we can to try and provide that in whatever role we play.
Okay. Let's give you an easy one.
Yeah, 90 seconds. A year ago at this time, your Montreal Canadiens were fighting for a playoff spot, one which they did not gain. Could you have possibly envisioned at that time that 12 months later, you not only would be in the playoffs, but you'd be in first place in the Eastern Conference? Really?
No.
It has been a remarkable ride. I assume you're enjoying this as much as almost anything you're involved with.
You know, you do, but for anybody who's close to sports like you guys are really close, I don't know whether others are the way I am or my family is, but until the last day, until the late night on the 5th of April, I won't honestly believe that we made the playoffs or we finished wherever we finished. I guess I'm generally not superstitious, but I just think that in my life I've had enough setbacks that it's just not smart to be presumptuous or arrogant or expecting good things. I've had enough bad things happen. I was playing dice the other night. I've never seen so many snake eyes in my life.
Are you a nervous fan?
No. I'm an emotional fan, but I'm not nervous in that what I've seen this year is that what Bob Gainey set out to do when he came here, coincidentally from Dallas.
Yeah, funny.
But when he came here, or came to Montreal, he had a plan. And Foster and I and our family and Pierre Boivin backed him. We've never once, not once, had a question about his plan or his program. We have been 100% supportive. And as we've seen it unfold, i.e., I'm talking now about starting with kids, with great, great staff, a wonderful group that handled the draft, and then great, great coaches in Donnie Lever and the crew down in Hamilton where we developed those kids. I mean, when you start thinking about it, that they're the only team that has more kids in the NHL who've come through their own draft system is Buffalo. They've got 35 players in the NHL, and we've got 34. And, you know, that's pretty amazing.